Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Today's episode, we are going to be talking all about sleep and how it affects your eating habits and affects your willpower. And by that, I mean your willpower to not have snacks, to not overeat, and to not go nuts in your kitchen in the evening or drive to, you know, a grocery store or somewhere and go nuts and find some foods to binge on. So what is this all about? Well, you've probably heard that sleep affects your metabolism. You've probably heard that by not sleeping, you can gain weight. And you hear these things, but you're like, really, how does that really work? Because I think a lot of people wish they had more time in the day to get things done. And sometimes they bargain with themselves to stay up a little later to get a project done and then pay for it later. There is some really concrete research out there now that's showing us that even after one night of suboptimal sleep, meaning 4 hours of or less, I would say in my case, 6 hours or less of sleep, that it's going to mess with your circadian rhythms in relation to metabolism. So one night of pulling an all-nighter is going to wreck you for a while until you get back into a regular pattern. And if you're anyone who's trying to lose weight, yes, sleep is one of the most crucial components to make sure that you're on top of. And so let's talk about why this is so important. So we have these hormones called leptin and ghrelin. Leptin is the one that tells our brain that we're full. It's secreted by our fat cells, and the fat cells tell a little message center called the hypothalamus in your brain, hey, I'm full. Now, leptin can be inhibited. So your ability to feel full can be inhibited when you're in an active fight or flight situation, meaning your body's trying to fuel up for this long road of running away from some imaginary bear. So imagine that you are stressed all the time, you're living a stressful life, and you're not able to get your stress under control. Well, guess what? Your leptin levels are also going to be affected. And this is why people stress eat. This is why when you're under stress, sometimes you tend to gain some weight because you just don't have that ability to feel full. And it's not anything that you can do in terms of willpower, things of that nature. This is primal signals going to your brain. And so I feel bad for people who get harped on about, well, why can't you just have willpower? Why can't, you know, you just stop eating? Why can't you do this? Why can't you do that? Well, because your brain is stressed out because you're not sleeping and you're living in a stressed out state that your body has lost its ability to tell itself it's full. So it's a big deal. Now, another big deal that happens is in that fight or flight situation, we have an increase in ghrelin. This is our I am hungry hormone. It stimulates appetite. And in fact, the more that you don't sleep, the more that you have that ghrelin increase, and you have an increase in cytokines, which are inflammatory proteins in your blood that can cause inflammation. And they also cause something called insulin resistance, meaning that your body is struggling to take sugar, glucose, so the breakdown products of carbohydrates into the cell and utilize it for energy. And so this is how we have so many people with diabetes and prediabetes and blood sugar issues and obesity right now. It's because we're living in a stressful environment, we're not taking care of ourselves, and we're not sleeping. So my goal of this whole podcast is really to harp on how important it is to sleep, but tell you the why of it. Because I think a lot of times we hear this, but we don't understand the why, and we don't understand the hormone effect and how this truly happens to us. So here's a little data. We crave 50% more calories and 2 times the amount of fat after we have a bout of insomnia. So this is nuts. Because think about it this way. If you're on a keto diet, so you're already eating a bunch of fat, you're going to crave even more fat. What happens with that? Well, some folks will say you don't have to count your calories. You don't have to pay attention to portion when you're eating keto. That is not true. I can tell you, hands down, I gained weight on keto while stressed because my body didn't know when to tell me to stop eating macadamia nuts. And if you've listened to any of my podcasts previously, you know that I absolutely love macadamia nuts. They're my favorite food in the whole universe, and they're what I go to when I stress eat. And why is it? Because they have some salt to them, because of course I'm going to get the salty ones, and there's fat. Macadamia nuts are one of the fattiest nuts out there. And so if you're thinking about the foods that you crave when you're stressed, well, it makes sense because the body is really trying to, unfortunately, get you to overeat fats because that's going to store more energy. And this is a problem. And it can really create some negative feedback loops here. And so one of the big things that I like to tell folks who are stressed out, you don't want to be getting on a ketosis-based type of diet. You don't even want to be doing 100% low-carb, Atkins-style diet. You do need some carbs. You need them in the evening to help you because carbs will boost serotonin and help you to sleep, but also they can help with balancing your blood sugar. Now, I'm not talking about junk food carbs. I'm talking about having a little bit of a whole grain or having a piece of fruit, something like that, with your dinner. I do think that anyone who is stressed should be having good fat and protein for breakfast and lunch, though. So let's go to this sleep deprivation component a little bit more. Did you know that sleep deprivation increases our appetite by targeting the endocannabinoid system? So if you've listened to my previous podcast about medical marijuana, you might have heard me talk all about the endocannabinoid system. Well, what do we think of when we think of people who like to smoke pot? We think of the munchies. And that THC, this ingredient, I guess it's a component of marijuana, affects the endocannabinoid system. And literally, sleep deprivation and THC work similar because they affect the CB1 receptors. And so what I want to pose to a lot of folks out there is that a lot of us use marijuana to de-stress. And that's fine. But keeping in mind that if you're using marijuana to de-stress and you're either smoking it or you're eating edibles or whatever you may be doing or taking capsules and they have THC, keep in mind that this could be a double-edged sword for you, especially if you're noticing that you're starting to gain weight or you want to lose weight, because those two, stress plus marijuana plus lack of sleep, so sleep deprivation, they're all going to upregulate your endocannabinoid system's CB1 receptors. And those are the receptors that boost appetite. This is why marijuana is used for cancer patients to increase their appetite. So something to think about here, especially now as marijuana is starting to become legal in a lot of states and deregulated in others, we live in a very stressed society. We use alcohol to, you know, deal with our stress. We use marijuana to deal with our stress. But I think a lot of us don't realize that when we're using these things, we also are affecting our ability to have proper willpower, because alcohol will mess with your sleep. And because of the detoxification that has to happen with drinking the alcohol, marijuana, on the other hand, is going to mess with your appetite. So one of the ways to combat that, I will tell you, in terms of working with my patients, is that I typically will have patients, if they're going to use medical marijuana for sleep and helping with sleep and helping with stress, that you push to taking it after you've had dinner, after you've had your snack, if you're going to do a dessert, and then you go to bed. That way you can sleep. You'll be sleeping great. You can help with regulating your desire to eat because you're sleeping. It's not going to be something that is forefront to your mind. And so what I'm saying here is to push your marijuana consumption till later in the evening, closer to bedtime, so that you just go to bed and you're not going to be sitting there making multiple trips to the kitchen. All right. So another big thing here is that I talk about all the time in my practice, probably maybe too much, and maybe some folks are getting to be really annoyed with me with this one, but I'm going to mention it because, you know, I've kind of noticed it happen to me. I kind of noticed it happen to other people. But running, let's get back to running for a moment. I have so many ladies that walk into my office and they've gained weight, they can't get the weight off, and over again, they tell me they used to be runners and that was their stress relief. Well, now that they can't run because their knees hurt or they don't have time or whatever the reason may be, they don't have a way to burn off that cortisol because they like the running. They didn't want to do any other type of sport. And now they're starting to find that they're gaining weight. So my point here is that we need to find a new outlet. I mean, I really can't say how important it is to find a new outlet. If running was your outlet and you could, had to stop running, you got to find another outlet to manage your stress. Because, yes, it's true. I have ladies in my office all the time crying and upset because they gain significant amounts of weight once they stop running. And it's a pattern. It repeats itself at least once a week, if not more times, in my office every single week. It's like clockwork. That I'm going to get a few people talking about this. And it's legitimately, I mean, it's sad. Even myself, when I quit running and was in between trying to figure out how I was going to manage my stress, I gained some weight too. It happens. So this is a big issue. And another big issue that I see a lot is the connection with the thyroid hormone production. I've noticed that we have a lot of people walking around with under-functioning thyroid glands, and they're given medication that doesn't really work for it because really they just need to sleep. If you look at your blood work before and after a stressful period where you slept, you know, okay, and then you got stressful and you get stressed and you couldn't sleep, oftentimes I will find that the thyroid stimulating hormone, so this is a message from the brain to the thyroid, it goes up. I've seen it happen in myself. The thyroid and adrenals, so your adrenals are your fight or flight glands. They produce cortisol. They recognize when we are under stress. Those guys and your thyroid work hand in hand for your metabolism. And if you're not sleeping, both of those hormones are not going to be doing too well for signaling in terms of hormone production, in terms of metabolic function. So this is a big problem. So I mentioned just a little bit ago food and what to eat to help with sleep and what to do when you're sleep deprived and what do you do in this case? Well, one of the big things is making sure, as I mentioned before, you're getting good protein and good fat with breakfast and lunch. And so I'm talking about things like eating your dinner for breakfast. So what you would normally eat for dinner, shift it to breakfast. I do a lot of veggie and ground turkey or ground chicken scrambles. And I'm not talking about putting eggs in it. I will do eggs sometimes, but I'll take leftover chicken, dice it up, and saute it with some veggies, and that's my breakfast. And when I say veggies, I'm talking zucchini, I'm talking mushrooms, I'm talking onions, things that are not super carb dense. And I'll also mix that with olive oil or full-on Kerrygold butter or another type of grass-fed butter based on what I have in the fridge. But I will do that as my breakfast. And then I'll do a green smoothie with protein powder in it for lunch. And then for dinner, that's when I'll add in a half cup to a cup of whole grains, or I will eat a piece of fruit or something of that nature to help with getting in the carbs. So carbs at night boost serotonin. And this can be a big issue when someone's on a low-carb diet or a keto diet because, unfortunately, you're not helping to boost your serotonin and help you with sleep. And if you're struggling already with cravings and you ate a whole bunch of, let's say you ate your dinner and then you ate nuts after dinner and you ate more than you should because you're having trouble with your ghrelin. So your ghrelin, the hormone that tells you you're hungry, is still pumping out that message saying you're hungry and you just can't stop eating. Well, this is a vicious problem because if you eat too much fat before bed, it's hard to digest all of that. And it sits in the stomach and it depends on how late you eat and that can affect your ability to sleep too. So this can become also a very vicious cycle if you've got into eating keto and now you've lost control of portion. Because no matter what, having too many grams of fat can be a problem. I don't care if all of the diet gurus out there in the universe say that it doesn't matter. I'm here to tell you I see what happens when it doesn't work out. So there is a limit in terms of every single person's ability to tolerate certain grams of fat. So the point being here is for people who are stressed out, keto diets and low-carb diets can be a huge problem because you're not nourishing your body with serotonin to calm the nervous system down and tell it's okay, but also because you have the tendency to overeat. And when we overeat, we tend to want carbs and fat. And if we're on a keto diet, we're going to have to go after fat, and we're going to eat too much fat. And then we're going to store it and wonder why we don't lose weight. So it can be a serious problem, especially when folks who are on the keto diet start to get stressed and lose their ability to even control what they're eating altogether. So they might do keto all day where they're eating higher fat items, and then in the evening they lose self-control, and it's a feeding frenzy with carbs and high fat items, and now we have double trouble for weight gain. So keep that in mind. Now, in terms of stress and stressed out folks, a lot of times we're not hungry in the morning when we're stressed because our hormones are off. Either our blood sugar is really high, or it might be slightly low and making us feel kind of nauseous or sick. That's a problem. I do believe that if you are under stress, you should be eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner, at least 3 meals a day to keep your blood sugar balanced. But like I said before, portion is more important, and what you're eating. Like I said, good fat and protein in the morning with breakfast and lunch, and then dinner, that's where you want some carbs to help with stress relief and boosting a little of your serotonin. In fact, for some people who are super, super stressed, I have them eating a piece of fruit around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon to help with the serotonin boost before you get off of work and end your day so that you can unwind better. Really, stress relief should start right after work. Like, you need to unwind and not just jump right in the kitchen and start feeding, because stressed out folks tend to do okay during the day with their foods, but as soon as the evening comes in, that's when that feeding frenzy starts. And that's a problem. That's where you start to gain the weight. And I've been there myself. I still sometimes struggle with it, and I can tell on days when I'm more stressed that my willpower's out. And if I haven't slept ideally, yeah, my willpower's really going to be crappy. So something to think about. And in fact, you even find yourself eating stuff that you would never eat normally. It's crazy. Or in portions that you would never consume. So here's some of the foods that are going to help with sleep. Cherries, yogurt, bananas, oats, chickpeas, so garbanzo beans, rice. Jasmine rice has been said to be even more effective. Beans, fish, especially salmon, tuna, halibut. Nuts, especially walnuts, almonds, pistachios. Cheese and eggs are also found to help with sleep, inducing sleep too. You also want to keep in mind the foods that can be a problem. Alcohol totally messes with sleep because you got to metabolize that alcohol through the liver overnight. Overly spicy, excessive fatty, excessive sugary, and of course caffeine in drinks. These are all probably, you know, a little bit of a yeah, duh, I know, but something that's nice to be reminded of. So in the foods that I just listed off for being ones that are good to boost serotonin, I often like to have folks have a little bit of a rice, like a rice pudding, a faux rice pudding, making a whole grain rice, like the jasmine rice, putting some pistachios in it and a little bit of cherries. Oh, it's a lovely little dessert, half a cup. You don't need a ton of it. That could be something to go with your dinner. Or you could make a rice dish on the side. I like wild rice, and having like a little bit of slivered almonds in the wild rice is kind of yummy. I love fish. And so these are things to think about in terms of helping out for what to eat for when you are stressed out, the best meals for your evening. Now, I will have a list for you, and it'll be in the resources. It'll be in the podcast notes, at drjkrausend.com, and this is episode 93. So head on over there and check that out, because I think it's really, really important to have a plan for your stress. Because I don't know how many people come into my office and they're like, "Doc, what can I eat? I'm stressed out. I need a food plan. I don't want to think about it. I need a plan that just tells me what to buy and what to eat and how to eat it." And, you know, I used to, when I first started practice, be like, "What, these people don't have creativity? They can't think about what to make for dinner and their own foods." But it wasn't until I became extremely stressed in my life where I realized, holy cow, I just want someone to make me a list and make me some food. I mean, there is a reason why celebrities are are maintaining their weight and looking good. They can afford personal chefs and nutritionists who can make their food plans up for them. They don't have to think about it. All the rest of us have to actually prep our food ourselves and think about it. So there's a big deal to that. And I think it's really important to acknowledge that, that when you're stressed, you need a game plan. You need routine and you need your food laid out for you. Otherwise, you're going to make really crappy choices. And unfortunately, that's where, like I said before, the keto and the low-carb diets can be a problem, because if we're reaching for, you know, a lunch of a burger and we get our burger without the bun and then we're still hungry and we go for some macadamia nuts, that's a lot of fat. And for most people, it's over the amount of fat that we can actually process in a day, and that's just one meal. I'm not even talking about what happens when that person goes home and tears apart their kitchen and binges on whatever they can find. So let's go back through this just a little bit, because I think it's important to reiterate what's happening here. When you are lacking sleep, and each individual person has their, quote, lacking sleep, but if you're waking up feeling tired each and every morning, you're not getting enough sleep. There's no amount of thyroid hormone or adrenal support or any of that that's going to help you in this case, because I give people supplements a lot to try to help boost their energy. But if I'm not getting them to work, it's because they're not freaking sleeping the amount that they need to. So I have people play with it. You want to set your bedtime, you want to set your wake up time and try to aim for 8 hours. But if 8 hours, you're not waking up rested, try to go for 9 hours. And I know this is taking a chunk out of your day and, you know, you have to rearrange some things, but you know what? It's your health. It's your life here. It's absolutely critical to get this on point, especially if you want to lose weight and you're mad about binge eating and you're mad about how you overeat on certain things. You got to get it together. I've had to do it for myself, and I keep having to reinforce my routine for myself. Otherwise, I do have problems, and I find myself binging on random crap that I don't even like. It doesn't even taste good, but I'm eating like a ton of it, and I'm going, what the heck is going on here? So if you find yourself in that situation, what you want to do is you want to spend an hour or two on the weekends prepping your food for the week. Say take a Sunday or a Saturday. Go to the grocery store or order it on Amazon, whatever. Have it brought into your house. It doesn't matter, just as long as you've got a plan. So making a menu plan, ordering up the food or going and getting it, then spending an hour and a half to 2 hours prepping all your food for the week. If you have a crock pot, get that sucker involved. Now you can spend less time in the kitchen because you can prep everything for the crock pot, then take it out of there and have fresh meals for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then freeze stuff for Thursday, Friday. I mentioned higher protein and good fat for breakfast. What I'm talking about in terms of breakfast and lunches like that is you want at least a palm size of protein. That could equate to 2 eggs. It could equate to about 4 ounces of ground turkey or ground chicken. And I'm talking ladies' amounts. Guys, you're more like 6 ounces for your meat. You could do fish in the morning if you can handle it. I grew up in the Midwest. Fish in the morning, it's rough for me. I'm down with that at lunch and dinner, but it's a little rough. If you're vegan or vegetarian, you're wanting to really hammer down your right portion of lentils and beans and things of that nature, because beans and lentils do have some carbs in there. So that means that you're wanting to have your meals a little bit more veggie dense with your beans and not be putting rice or quinoa for your breakfast and lunch, and then saving your whole grains like quinoa, rice, buckwheat, etc. for your evening meals. Now, I talked about protein being about 4 to 6 ounces, depending on if you're a female or male, but also in terms of good fat, you're looking at somewhere around, say, a quarter of an avocado, and I'm talking about a medium-sized, not those big, huge avocados. That would be like a, probably be like an eighth of those ones for those large Haas ones, but that's your good fat. Or you could be doing a tablespoon of olive oil, a tablespoon of butter, whatever it may be. It's enough good fat that you're sauteing something in, or you're using it as a dressing, a sauce, something of that nature. In terms of veggies, go to town on those. I usually recommend for my patients to have at least 2 cups of veggies with each meal. That'll at least get you 6 cups of veggies, and then having veggies for your snacks later on. But 2 cups of zucchini, mushroom, onion all mixed up to make 2 cups, not 2 cups of each. That would be excessive. Or having kale, spinach, you can dice those guys up and they shrink down pretty quick. So I'm talking about portions when they're in their raw state. Mushrooms, they shrink down pretty quick too. So things of that nature, sauteed up, doing that for breakfast. You know, you could do a smoothie as well, just making sure that you're getting a well-rounded protein, such as Pure Protein. It's a pure pea protein from Designs for Health, if you want a vegan one, or you're going towards stronger, faster, healthier brand for a whey protein, or you could do collagen protein powder, something that's going to give you some protein in the afternoon. And you can make up smoothies ahead of time. I do it for 2 days in advance. That's another option of planning. Now, on my Pinterest account, it's my Pinterest account is Doc J Krause ND. I have a ton of different resources in terms of meal prepping. One of my other favorite ways to consider meal prepping is to do sheet baking and roasting of veggies and chicken and fish or whatever I'm going to do and make it all on one big cookie sheet. You could do 2 different cookie sheets and you can get quite a bit of meals out of that. So there's options for you. And, you know, trying not to rely on all the processed stuff because it doesn't do anybody any good. It really doesn't. And planning for a snack if you're super stressed around the afternoon or feeling a dip in your energy around, you know, anywhere between 2 and 4 o'clock, have a piece of fruit available, have a cup of berries available so that you have something that can nourish you in that moment and boost your serotonin for you. Like I'd mentioned before, cherries, you could have a half a banana, you could have, you know, a great little tiny little rice pudding dish, you know, and when I say rice pudding, I'm talking mock rice pudding. That would be more like rice with a little bit of almond milk with a tablespoon of cashews or a tablespoon of pistachios and maybe like 3 or 4 diced up cherries. Nothing crazy. That's like your mid-afternoon snack. And then dinner, you know, and with dinner, like I said before, a half a cup to a full cup of a grain. You could do a half of a medium sweet potato. You could do anything that's going to be like the size of your fist. I'm not hating on potatoes. You could even do potatoes. Purple potatoes are kind of fun because they have a little more antioxidants. And so these could be your carbs for the evening. And then after that, you just see how you feel and get yourself in bed. Don't hang around in the kitchen. That can be a huge issue because that's going to potentiate your ability to snack. Keeping the snack foods out of the house, absolutely critical too, because let's face it, if they're in the house, there's that little inner bear inside you is going to want to eat them. So nothing that's earth-shattering, nothing that you haven't heard before, but things that I like to mention just to keep it in your mind for you in terms of little tidbits. But if nothing else that you take away from this podcast, it's really working on routine, going to bed, waking up at the same time every single day. And if you're finding yourself waking tired, you've got to work on perhaps giving yourself some more time to sleep. Absolutely critical. If you're feeling like all I want to do is sleep, sometimes it's not because you're depressed. Sometimes it's because your body's like, I need help to recover. I need help from the recovering from the day. And so honor your body's questioning that of needing help, because I unfortunately just see too many people in my practice who have been extremely stressed and finding that they're gaining weight because their body has lost their mind and their body has lost the ability to have willpower because their hormones are messed up. Leptin is not there to say you're full, and ghrelin, that hormone's on full blast, basically telling you to eat more, and it's stimulating appetite over and over again. So work on your sleep. See if that helps you out. I love to hear feedback from you and letting me know how my tactics work for you. I'm here to help. So you have enjoyed, hopefully, another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing. Hey everybody, Dr. Janine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausend.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.